Amen. From a text we read from earlier, there's two verses tonight from the text. I think last night we looked at verse 19 to the 21. One of my professors years ago, Dr. Stephen Notley, encouraged us to do what most people don't do, which is to engage the text. Dr. Glenn Sherwood says the preachers can be extremely lazy. Challenged by words like those, preachers can be extremely lazy. Dr. Glenn Sherwood felt that preachers has the ability to go into a text and just pick out a few things rather than dealing with the meat of the text. And that's not easy. Did I just say that? God's willing, tomorrow we'll talk about meat. It's not everybody can eat meat, you know. Yeah, that's true, Pastor. Yeah, some people can't manage bones, you know that. Amen. I'll never give Young Daily meat to eat just like that. You know why? You have trouble. Need milk. Yes. Verse 22 and verse 23 of our theme text says this. Came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Can I hear you say bosom? Bosom. Can I hear you say bosom? Don't worry, it's in the Bible. Don't worry yourself. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, can I hear you say hell? He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. That word looked like it's plural to me. Torments. And seeing Abraham afar off, he seen, and Lazarus in his bosom. A heaven to gain, and a hell to shun. Last evening, we looked a little on heaven and hell. We said that these are places for a final place of residence. We said that man as an eternal being will either enjoy bliss and fellowship with his creator or suffer and live in anguish with a tormentor and enemy of his soul. We looked at these two individuals in the text, the rich man and the poor man, both lived here like we are. And both will live in another place like we will do, either heaven or hell. We close with the thought that Lazarus was ignored. His name means God helps. The rich man did not drive him away. He did not ask his dog to attack him. He did not get his security guards to move him. He just ignored him. My wife called me and said to me, somebody asked her why she screamed at me. Because I said she, when I ignore her, she raised her voice. Eh? I'm not saying that you're screaming, dear. I'm just saying that when you think I'm not listening to you, you make it known. Right, Tony? Is that all right? You sure? Amen. The house is silent. We are people with emotions. Talk to me, somebody. We are people with it. God made us so. We are people with emotions. Amen. Amen. Don't ignore God. I thought about that for a moment, and so the text did not clearly say what I thought about, but let me just interject this, that as I engage the text, I feel in my heart that God sent Lazarus to the gate of this rich man for a reason. And if he is and helped sent by God, then it is clear that he is there to pass on a message, whether verbally or non-verbally, to this rich man. But sometimes information can be passed on without a spoken word. Is there anybody with me? And all the parents in the house understand that a look sometimes speaks volumes. Just a look. And while this man was begging for bread, clearly this rich man was enjoying the best of the best that the world could offer. And I said, then don't ignore God. Just a thought. See, sometimes God sends help in some unique and unspecial ways, some kind of ways that we don't readily embrace. Sometimes we reject God's help because we have our own personal biases and prejudices and our own preferences. When we see a poor, hungry, physically sick man such as Lazarus, we tend to not want to recognize and appreciate. Is anybody with me? But I believe with all my heart that before a man dies or a woman dies, God will send a word to that individual. Pastor G, nobody will stand before God and tell God they never heard the good news. Not one. The Bible makes it clear in Romans that God, by his eternal power and eternal wisdom, even through creation, is making himself known to mankind. So nobody will have an excuse to say there is no God. Maybe the rich man, because of his social setting, Brother Winston, never hear anything about God and his salvation. But Lazarus showed up. Somebody brought him to the gate. The rich man saw him and he heard him beg for bread. Man cannot live by bread alone. There must be something that he was saying, even by his very presence, that should invoke a sort of, and I used the word last night, pity. That word pity is enveloped in the word compassion. If you want to find somebody who is pitiful, you have to talk to God. He pitied us. He was moved with pity. It takes God to leave a place of perfect rest, a place of perfection, to show up in imperfection so the imperfect can become perfect in God. It's a holy pity, full of compassion. He was moved when he thought about you and I. Notwithstanding, when he looked at the journey to Calvary, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, he said, God, if it is any at all possible, don't let me do it. But Hebrews tell me that when he thought about the joy that was set before him, when he looked away from the cruelty that he would experience, not because he sinned or was guilty. He endured the cross. He took the mockery. He took the beating. And you and I will probably never imagine the torture that he endured for us. The passion of the Christ, I don't believe, could truly express Isaiah said of him that the kind of experience that he had, his external vision was marred. Probably unrecognized by many. But it pleased the Father to bruise him. You talk about compassion. To bruise him. And so it is in my thinking that Lazarus showed up and he had a message. He's probably saying to this rich man, shun hell. The lifestyle you're living is a worldly lifestyle and you're destined for hell. But heaven is a better choice. He ignored him. Sometimes God will send messages to people that we don't really think that he can use. Because their physical status suggests that they are suffering. And yes, in suffering, God still uses people. Sometimes the package don't look so good. And if you look at the package, you can become I'm going to take it. You can be turned off. But until you open the package, you'll never see what the quality of the content is. Very often, the book cover seems to suggest that the content is good, but sometimes I know so go. You have to open the book. Back in my days, Pastor G, they never used to have anything on the covers of the Bible. Nowadays they have a lot of things to encourage people to buy one. But if you ever open this book, you see, you will know God. The information in there is information that speaks of life. If there's anything that you think about living on earth, this book has it. God has given unto us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So Lazarus, on the exterior, never looked good, but on the interior, he had God. Suffering in pain, hungry, yet in him was what Paul called treasure. We have this treasure. Can I speak to somebody in the house? We have this treasure in broken earthen vessels. Vessels that can be diseased, that can be afflicted and affected. Vessels that can know pain and suffering. But the treasure in us is what makes the difference. The outside is going through some rough stuff. But we have a treasure. We walk with this treasure in broken earthen vessels, that the excellency might be of God. But none of us. See, I believe that as children of God, we will go through some stuff. In this life, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Please don't get me wrong, brothers and sisters. Appearance is important. But for heaven, what is most important is the condition of the spirit and the soul. So let me ask a question. Is your heart right with God? A heaven to gain. Is your heart right? St. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3, 4, chapter 3, 4 and 5 says, the adorning, using the Amplified, must not be merely external, with the interweaving and elaborate knotting of the hair and wearing gold jewelry, or being superficially preoccupied with dressing in expensive clothes. But let it be the inner beauty of the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit, one that is calm and self-controlled, not overly anxious, but serene and spiritually mature, which is very precious in the sight of God. See, when the spirit and soul are in right relationship with God, then heaven, I believe, is in us. And I borrow it from what Paul said to the Colossians, that Christ is in you. Christ in you is your hope of glory. Rabbi, I want to tell you that I enjoy good music in church. I'm serious. I feel that our church is lacking some good musicians nowadays. So bless the Lord for these young folks. Come on, give it up to the Lord for them. And music sort of help you, not true, emotionally, not true. Talk to me, not true. When I'm talking, you're not stamping your feet, not true. You're not rocking your head. Ask these guys to come and play, you start to, Christ in you. See, heaven is a place. But as we sing last night, heaven came down and glory. So the reality of heaven for the believer is not something that is far off. The full concept of heaven, we don't know yet. You know what John said? John said, now are we children of God. But we don't know yet what we shall be. But we know. We know that when we see him, we are going to be like him. For we shall see him. Now we are being transformed by the Spirit of God. We move from a phase of glory to another phase of glory. When we shall fully be glorified when he comes for us. But we have to live it down here. Can I pause for a moment? Because what Jesus says we should do. He said, I'm leaving, but I'm leaving you. John 17, don't take them out. I'm leaving there for a reason, that they should reflect heaven. Because out of that relationship among them, I want them to experience my love. So that people can truly know that you sent me. Heaven, when the spirit and soul are in right relationship with God, then in spite of our bodily challenges, I think we can say like Paul, we know that our earthly house, our tent, will be destroyed. But we have a building from God. A house not made with, a house eternal. For as much as we will feel some pain and have some distresses and all the physical condition beset us, we have heaven on our mind. And we are earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. We know that our earthly troubles are just temporary. Can I get a witness in the house? Sometimes they are long. Sometimes they are short. But they are only for a moment. After my skin is destroyed, said Job, I know that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another. Is our heart yearning like Job's heart? Didn't we just sing, I know? Like Paul, therefore we do not become discouraged, spiritually disappointed, or afraid. Though our outward self is progressively wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day by day, for our momentarily light distress, this passing trouble, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, a fullness beyond all measure, surpassing all comparison, a transcending splendor, and an endless blessedness. So we don't look at the things that we see, but the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, brief and fleeting. But the things which are invisible are everlasting and imperishable. Both men died. Both men died. Death is unavoidable. It is the inescapable reality. because of sin. But Jesus took death on himself so that death cannot hold the believer captive. Well, bless the name of Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verse 18 said, we are made free from sin. In verse 22, he said, but now are we set free from sin. John Wesley said he broke the power of cancer sin. He sets the prisoner. Hallelujah. He sets the prisoner free. Is there any free person in the house? Sets the prisoner free. They tell me that there are times when some things are held in cages. For years, for months, and they become so accustomed to their environment that when you set them free, they still don't want to go. But I don't know if there's a believer who understood where they are coming from, what they were held in, who when they are free, they don't want to run. And Paul says we should not even think of going back to those things, weak and beggarly elements. Free in Christ Jesus. There is, therefore, no condemnation to those that are set free by Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ who died. Yes, it is Christ who rose again to set us free. And whom the Son set free. Can I get a scream of hallelujah from a freed person in the house? Whom the Son set free is free indeed. Sets the prisoner free. All of us will live to die. Unless Jesus come back tonight, we still can't go to heaven the way we are. Please observe the text that there are two different expressions here. The beggar in this account died first. And observe the Bible said that he was carried. Pastor Higgins said something, he was carried. Pastor Higgins, when I was younger, I didn't like to go to funeral. I had problems, brother, walking from church in the night to go home sometimes. When I leave Sister McDonald, there's no street light for another 1 mile, okay? When it's dark night, if it's me alone, only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And if somebody was just buried, Lord Jesus, even when a tree shake, We will all die. Every single one of us. But I've learned something, Pastor Bro. What Jesus did for us when he left heaven, he came among us and said, we don't have to be afraid of death. But death could not conquer him. Paul is going to say, oh, death, where do you get the power from that you think you get it from, that you can bring people under your power? Where is your sting? And oh, grave, where do you get the ability to hold people? You don't have that anymore. Christ destroyed that, for heaven came down. He sets the prisoner free, free from sin. It's a happy condition. Christ has redeemed us, and there is free from the fear of death, for Christ has set us free. 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 They both died. The poor man was carried. So every funeral I attend, they have some people that carry people. Everyone. Every single one. And they use 6 people. Don't ask me why. 6 people. I'll take it. 6 people. I don't know if they're all with them light. It's 6 people they still use. But the Bible said nothing about Lazarus being carried by men. Rev, when I go, if the Lord don't come back, I will not be given a dignitary send-off. I'm not going to get in a royal escort. It's reserved for celebrities in this world. Think of Lazarus. He wasn't a celebrity. But in him, there was a treasure house. Something that connected him with God. And so when he died, God allowed the angelic beings who are ministers to those that are heirs of salvation to come down to escort him. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, forgive me for a moment. But understand this, brothers and sisters, that when Moses died, there was a fight going on someplace. When Moses died, some folks decided, demonic folks, decided that they can't afford for Moses to just leave the scene like that. The Bible according to Jude said there was contention. They were contending over the body of Moses. And as they contended, an angel of the shore put his mighty and said, the Lord rebuke you. I love the angels, you know. They understand the power of God, and they don't usurp that power. The Lord rebukes you. I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord rebuke you. Could it be? This was a similar situation. Could it be that the angels are going to make sure there's no contention over the body of Lazarus? So they come to give him a royal escort. A royal escort. I can't imagine that the saints in Christ will have the same kind of send-off. I hear Paul said it well, to be absent from the body. How do you get there? Could it be that God sent some angels to escort you? That if there's any other influence outside of the realm would want to keep you here, that they can't stop you because you're going to Father's place of residence. And so the Bible says that he was transported, carried, not by men, but by angels. He was a here in God's salvation process. And by design, God would assign him angels to guard the treasure in him. Did I just say that? If you don't guard it, thief will come and take it away. And last night I told you that there is still a thief. And he's still around. And when we have our treasure, we lock them up. Oh, Jesus. And Jesus said, make sure you don't put any place where thief and mud can come in and corrupt. Okay. Okay. And so he was escorted out of here. He can't be escorted if he didn't have a relationship. And he wasn't making that relationship at the point he made it before. He chose to live in connection and in relationship with God long before the time of his death came. He wasn't making preparation on his deathbed. He already made it. He had in him a treasure that God understood, and God wanted to bring this treasure out of him into the place where treasures are best seen and appreciated. Nothing can rob it from there. And so he was carried. Can I hear you say carried? When I get emotional, I wipe my face a lot, okay? And so Abraham bosom. Abraham bosom. I don't know what you want to say, but the last time I checked, a bosom is a comfortable place to be. Can I don't want to get into trouble in this place. I don't want to get into any trouble in this place. Pastor Daly, where are you, sir? Where is he? Okay, I'm going to leave him alone. I have two children. And sometimes I struggle to get to where they are, even though I was before them, okay? Okay, good. It's all right. I'm going to use myself. Sometimes I struggle to get to where they are, even though I was before them. Because they love bosom. It's true, Brother Johnson. It's true. All the mothers in the house know, so I'm talking the truth. Not true. Not only is it comfortable, there's a certain bonding that goes on there. It's a good place to relax. Same way, so you go. Amen. And if you have been there, you know I'm speaking the truth. Can I get a witness in the house? Can I truly get a witness in the house? Can all the men in the house say amen? And can all the sisters in the house say true? Samson. Where is the Pastor G?
Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let the fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her bosom satisfy thee.
All right, I'm moving on. Bosom. So God brought him to a place escorted by angels, not men. And he brought him to the place. Now, understand Abraham's bosom. Here's what bosom is, a place of comfort. It is not where the rich man will go. And since bosom is a place of comfort and bonding, understand that this brother moved from a place of obscurity, unknown, rejection, being ignored, knowing what is it to be hungry, knowing what is it to be in pain and in sore, know what is it to be begging, and he's now transported to a whole different world. A world where he is accepted. Can I hear you say accepted? Rejected by the rich man, but accepted by Father Abraham. Despised by the rich man, pitied by some dogs, but accepted by Father Abraham. Stood at the gate of the rich man looking in and could not go in, but now he entered and he's relaxing in Abraham's. Oh, talk to me, somebody. Not rejected anymore, not feeling forsaken anymore, not looked down on anymore, not begging anymore. He's now enjoying something that the earth could not give him, but heaven can. Can I tell you here, brothers and sisters? The world can give you some stuff, but it's secondary compared to what God has in store for you. For eyes have not yet seen, ears have not yet, it has not yet entered into our thinking, the things that God has in store. We're talking about heaven. You can't lose with heaven. You can't lose with heaven. You can only gain with heaven. But before you get there, you have to leave heavenly to get to heaven. I don't know if Lazarus was singing Psalm 23. The Lord, you are my shepherd. I may be lacking some food, but you said, I shall not lack. I don't know if he was saying, Lord, you prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemy, not on earth, but in heaven. In Abraham's bosom. Because the tides are going to change. Because hurt is not our final destination. He might have been singing, do I walk to the valley? I will not fear, for thou art. I experience shame. I experience rejection. I experience suffering. But now that I have died and I'm carried, transported in heaven style into Abraham's bosom, all of those things are passed away. The former things are passed away. And the life I live on earth, I will not live it again, but I live to enjoy the fullness of heaven in Christ Jesus. The poor man died and was carried. And the rich man died and was buried. The Bible did not say anybody carry him, but he probably was. Probably had his sepulcher. Amen. They lock you in, nobody can't take you out. Probably didn't know that the resurrection has the ability to break rocks. And the Bible says that he died and was buried. So the Bible said, he died and he was, verse 23, can we look at verse 23? And in hell. Did the Bible say in hell? And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. He had no heavenly fanfare. No angels to carry him. He was just buried. But because he died, he had a status change. That is always an equalizer. Whether you're rich or you're poor, you die, you're dead. And whatever you have here, you can't carry it with you. Oh, Jesus. I don't know. There's a heaven to gain. In debt, his wealth and sumptuous living could not help him. See, debt will always bring a permanent change. He had friends, but his friends can't help him. Money can't help him. His food can't help him. There's a reversal of the role in this text. See, how they lived is apparent, not by the way they lived in the afterlife. And yes, it is also by the way they lived in the afterlife. Situation and condition changes because of one's final destination in hell. Hell is to be avoided at all cost. Hell not pretty. There's nothing beautiful about hell. Did I just say that? Some years ago, I preached a message on hell. And before I preach it, I asked some of my co-workers to talk to me about hell. The last night we mentioned one, and there's the one that I hear all the time in conversation. Hell no. I'm serious, hell no. Yes, and these are not believers. I'll quickly tell you, hell no. And yet they're living as if they want to go to hell. Can I hear every Christian in the house say hell no? Oh, you don't mean it, man. Hell no. Can I hear every Christian in the house say hell no? Can you touch the person before you, if you have one before you, and tell them hell no? Can you touch another person and say to them, heaven, yes? What in hell do you want? And Christ people said nothing. And they live hellish. Our theme says there's a heaven to gain and a hell to run from. Everything in your power should drive you to run far from in hell. The Bible speaks of a place, hell as a place of consciousness. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He seemingly had a sense of feeling and was heightened. The Bible describes this place as a place of torture, extreme pain. The best of man-made narcotics can't fix it. What is the most? Any nurse in the house? I know one. Any other nurse in the house? Only one I know. Any medical practitioner in the house? Yeah. I think what's the best pain medication they can give? You sure? That's what they call it, morphine, right? Morphine can help a man in hell, you know. Because all doctors who are in hell don't have any prescription to prescribe in hell. All medical practitioners in hell, they don't have license to practice down there. Because Satan not giving them that power. In hell, the Bible said he was tormented. Extreme pain or anguish of body or mind. The Bible speaks of hell as a place of unquenchable fire. I was looking for a scar I have. Only steam. And they say, was it class 2? It's class 2, they call it. Second degree. I know people that go to prison for causing second degree burns and first. Yes. Only steam. Have you ever been burned? No, seriously, been burned. Is it a good feeling? And the first thing you want to do is you want to scratch, to itch, which is not a good thing. But you imagine that a person is in hell. The Bible said is unquenchable fire. What kind of body can stand that? Bible describes hell as a place of black darkness. Who like darkness? A lake of fire. A place where there is fire and brimstone. The Bible said the worms don't die there. It's a place of everlasting punishment. Everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. A place of suffering. The vengeance of eternal fire. Hell. Hell is not a pretty place. And God has paid the price that you and I can avoid hell. And I'll say it again, hell was not made except for the devil and his angels. Let me just close in hell. Hell is a ugly place. But there's another thing about hell. It's a greedy place. People don't like greedy people. Hell is a greedy place. You know what the wise man said about hell? He said, hell and destruction are never full, never satisfied. So hell is looking for everybody to go to hell. But Jesus says, I come that you might have life and have it more abundant. And that abundant life is the heavenly life. And we can only experience heaven when we trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hell. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. Wow, time. C.S. Lewis, I believe, says this. Sin, the human beings saying to God throughout their life, go away and leave me alone. Hell is God saying to human, you may have your desire. The convention theme is to shun hell. Do you want to go there? Can I hear everybody on my right side said hell no? Can I hear everybody on my left side say hell no? Can I hear everybody over say heaven yes? Can I hear everybody over here say heaven? Is there anybody in the house that is on their way to hell? Stay seated. Anybody in the house? Anybody in the house? You know you're on your way to hell. Stay seated. If you know you're on your way to heaven, lift your hand above your head and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He made a way when our backs were against the wall, and it seems as if it was over. He made a way. And we stand here only because
you made a way.
You made a way. When our backs were against the wall, and it seems as if it was
over. Only because you, oh.